We're just a lot of talk. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure, TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Now, more of the Traveling On Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
We're going to shift our focus right now to voluntourism, one of the fastest-growing travel areas, particularly in the U.S., with so many great disasters that have happened, particularly Hurricane Katrina. The focus on giving back to communities has become a big part of what people are doing. And as many people try to make their travel experiences more meaningful, today we're going to take this fascinating look at voluntourism and learn about the many opportunities that travelers have to give back. Right now we're joined by Andrea Ketchmark of the American Hiking Society and Kristen Lamoureux, Director of the International Institute for Tourism Studies at George Washington University. Welcome to Traveling On.
Hi.
Thank you.
Glad you could be with us on this this lovely day.
Voluntourism is a growing area of interest in travel, and perhaps we can direct this to Kristen. What really is voluntourism, and how did it originate?
Great. Thank you so much. Voluntourism is an up-and-coming trend. We're seeing quite a bit of it. A lot of the media is kind of paying attention to it. There's a lot of reasons why how it's developed, but, you know, you can go back to the 60s and the creation of the Peace Corps and other organizations that kind of promoted travel and volunteering together, but in a more long-term fashion. More recently, we're seeing with decreased vacation time and kind of a bunch of reasons why people are wanting to volunteer, that people are trying to combine two things they feel strongly about, traveling and volunteering, into one single experience.
And this is a really growing trend. How many people would you say, on average, a year are experiencing this or taking these opportunities on?
Well, unfortunately, those of us in the academic field would love to have a lot more research on that. You know, we don't have great numbers. We know that Travel Industry of America, which is the organization that represents the U.S. On travel issues, they did a study last year and found that 24% of the people they surveyed were wanting to take a volunteer vacation this year, which is, not a lot, but it's still up from previous years. Mm-hmm. Travelocity also did a survey. They found 11% of their active members, which was up from 6% the year before. So it's definitely growing. And the largest market segment of the TIA research, the Travel Industry of America research, seemed to be in the 35 to 54 range. So about half of the people surveyed in that age range are wanting to do this. So that's your baby boomers, kind of the tail end of your baby boomers wanting to, you know, retire and do some stuff as they retire or as they have more free time.
And, you know, there's a lot of opportunities and a variety of opportunities available to people who are looking for these experiences, including your organization, Andrea, the American Hiking Society. You offer over 100, I think, opportunities each year. Tell us a little bit about what an individual could expect or experience with one of your programs.
Absolutely. This year, we offer about 75 projects. We work with federal land management agencies, state parks, and other trail groups to put together a listing of projects that are all really much needed on our public lands and on our trails, but federal agencies either don't have the funding or don't have the manpower, so we get the volunteers. Like I said, we've got 75 trips coming up this year in over 25 states. We are also offering alternative spring breaks for college students. We're offering family-friendly trips that will allow family to get out together, and we're also offering a couple of shorter projects. The majority of our trips are 1 week, but this year we are providing a 3-4-day experience. So those are couple of the different things.
Andrea, what are some of the considerations that go into putting together a voluntourism trip in terms of projects, particular destinations, and all of those sorts of things that you're thinking about as you plan these opportunities for people?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, it definitely depends on the need of the land manager. So basically, they come to us with the projects, and we find the ones that are, you know, there's a lot of disaster relief, flood relief, bridges that were torn down by tornadoes, trails that are really not only not sustainable, but also that could be dangerous for people to walk on. We do that. And then also we look for locations that are beautiful, of course, and locations that people will want to travel. Anybody can volunteer in their own backyard, but we're looking for an opportunity that really gets people out to see other public lands in the country and have a fun time while doing it.
Now, oftentimes, voluntourism gets its focus because of these natural disasters, as we've seen with Hurricane Katrina. And sometimes there are opportunities to do cleanup and even construction. And this kind of begs the question as to how safe it is for just the average person who might want to consider doing this.
Ours are, I mean, absolutely safe. The worst thing we've had in 30 years is probably a couple of scrapes and bruises because it is outdoor work.
And Kristen, what would you say? Because are your sites and are the countries selected based on the need in that location?
You know, it really depends. I mean, I would love to tell you that everything with regard to volunteer vacations is great, but there are there's a huge array of different opportunities, and with that become different challenges. Overall, it's the same skills that you need when picking any vacation, you know, as far as working with a reputable tour operator or a nonprofit organization that's doing this. You know, you need to use common sense just like you would with purchasing any vacation package.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I can talk a little bit about the different things you should be thinking about when you do that.
And you're listening to the Traveling On Radio Show, and we're talking to Andrea Ketchmark and Kristen LaMarue on the wonderful growing travel niche of voluntourism. Kristen, how would a voluntourist pick the right experience or even assess their true interest in voluntourism?
Well, Tanya, this is such a good question because it's so important, because it's going to be the make or break of a good experience. What you need to do, because there are so many opportunities out there, you need to figure out exactly what it is that you want out of your volunteer vacation, and you want to figure out where you want to go. So just like any vacation, you figure you have probably in mind some place that you want to go or some activity that you want to do. A person that is happy teaching English to a group of school children in Vietnam is not going to be happy, may not be happy, you know, doing hard labor in a national park here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really, that's the most important thing. So first, figure out where you want to go and what you want to do. Then you need to determine how much volunteer time and how much vacationing. It's almost like a spectrum, and there's a little bit of volunteering and a lot of vacationing, or the opposite, or a mixture of both. If you want mostly vacationing sprinkled with volunteer experiences,
mm-hmm.
then you should find a tour operator, either your favorite tour operator, or do some online research to find some good tour operators. There's a few great websites. One is travelofftheradar.com. They have a list of good tour operators that incorporate volunteer tourism. Gorp Travel is another one. So figure out what tour operators. And what's funny is that some tour operators offer volunteer experiences, but they don't advertise it because they don't think it's in demand.
Oh, my.
And so you need to call. If you have a favorite tour operator, it's worth calling them and asking them if they do this.
And I know your program at GW, one of the things you're going to offer for our tour operators out there is our steps in how to create this type of program, this type of offering for their current clients.
Right. And I, you know, being on the research and academic side, we get this question quite a bit. Tour operators come up to me and say, how do I incorporate this? And it's really tricky. There are a lot of, as I'm sure Andrea knows, there are a lot of pitfalls. And so we at, I work at George Washington University. We have the oldest master's degree of tourism in the world. We also mm-hmm. have an undergrad in tourism. And we have professional education programs for those people already working in the field, one in event management. And then the other one more relevant to this conversation is destination management, where people are seeking to either work in the tourism field, or they already work and they're looking to get specific pieces of information like a course on volunteer tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things we do there.
And there's a site that I came across. In fact, a gentleman we'll have on one of our shows later on this year has a company out of San Diego called voluntourism.org. And his site, voluntourism.org, actually has a 10-step process that where people can go online and answer specific questions to determine first if they're interested, and secondly the type of voluntourism opportunity that they'd enjoy, and certainly have all this information on on our website, and some of the websites that you shared on our blog. But just to circle back again to GW University, if somebody's out there listening, whether they're a travel agent or a tour operator or somebody who's just interested in the field of tourism, what website can they visit?
Well, our website is www.gwutourism.org.
Okay. And Andrea, what is your website for those of us who are outdoor people who love to hike and would love to give back to the preservation of hiking trails? What is your website address?
Our website is AmericanHiking.org. And you can search for all of our volunteer opportunities under volunteer vacations. Mm-hmm. And you can search by, as I said, many different, you know, criteria to find the trip that's right for you.
In fact, you guys are local. You're here in Silver Spring as well.
We are.
Oh, excellent. I never knew that. But you know what I did? I actually contributed to the American Hiking Society on my CFC campaign.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we all have a, you know, token gesture.
Well, thank you. And your trails, thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Andrea, I want to kind of help our listeners get a sense as to the cost of some of these programs, particularly those that are put on by the American Hiking Society, in terms of what they can expect for some of the shorter duration trips to some of the longer duration ones.
Absolutely. All of our trips are $245, which does include food for the week. It also includes any park fees, camping fees, and or lodging fees. A lot of our trips are camping. Some are staying in a lodge or cabin, though.
Mm-hmm. Is that for children as well? Is that the price across the board for some of your family-friendly?
Yes.
Okay.
For the shorter ones are $175, mm-hmm. and the same for the alternative spring breaks.
Okay.
Those are tremendous values if you think about it, just to have a different kind of experience, a chance to really immerse yourself in nature.
Yeah.
You know, it's just tremendous.
Yeah, I'd say so. And, I mean, now, are these local, your programs, are they local or they're all over the nation?
They're all over the nation. We're in about 25 states this year.
Okay.
It varies from year to year which states and which projects because, as I said, it's definitely dependent upon the need of the agency. So, you know, this year we could have a project in Alaska, which we do. Next year we could have five in Alaska.
Oh, that's awesome.
And this year we have two in the U.S. Virgin Islands in November.
Oh, hello, soul.
We'll return to the Travelin' On Radio Show after this time out on TalkZone.com.